You're listening to Capital Radio. This is Brian Rust welcoming you to another Mardi Gras, our carnival of the best in vintage popular music and all that jazz. Happy listening. I remember a long time ago I played a few records of various popular composers playing or singing their own numbers, and tonight it seemed like a good idea to offer you another instalment. Some of these are of composers we've often heard, but their work is always interesting anyway. Others are by artists not generally thought of as composers. I've often played records of Benny Moten and his Kansas City Orchestra. Moten was the composer of a whole lot of the numbers his band recorded, and he was a fine rag pianist. One of his best-known tunes is called simply South, and here it is by the Benny Moten Orchestra in 1928. Benny Moten, composer, pianist and bandleader, playing his own big success, South. Another composer, pianist and bandleader with dozens of big hits to his eternal credit is Fats Waller, and perhaps his biggest success is Ain't Misbehaving, written in 1929 and sold outright for $20 or so, according to legend. Actually, it was featured in the Harlem Review Connie's Hot Chocolates, and here is the original recording by the composer at the piano. Thank you. Misbehaving by Fats Waller, its creator. One of the best known and most creative jazz composers, yet another pianist and band leader, is of course Duke Ellington. Over the half century that he was active, he wrote music of all kinds, and a good deal of it beat the Tin Pan Alley men at their own game. Here's one originally called Cootie's Concerto, or Concerto for Cootie if you like, a showcase for growl-muted trumpet man Cootie Williams, recorded in 1940, just before it had words fitted to it and became a hit parade success under the title Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me. Concerto for Cootie, Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me, from one of the most productive periods in Duke Ellington's career, 1940. We're lucky to have permanent recordings like these, aren't we? We'll have some more after the break.
This is a Capitol Record break.
Hello, Alan Dell here. May I tell you about a series of five new double albums that bring you the best of yesterday's jazz today? There's jazz Benny Goodman style. That's a must for every collection. A classic double album starring the Benny Goodman 1941-42 Orchestra. Original recordings throughout, so remember the name. Benny Goodman plays solid gold instrumental hits. For Errol Garner fans, this track called Laura. It's featured on a double album that includes some material never released on album before. It's called Play It Again, Errol, and traces his career through the early 1950s. Listen in next week and hear more from the new collector's series. Goodbye till then.
Presented by Alan Dell, excerpts from the new CBS double album series, Yesterday's Jazz Today. Make sure you see and hear them all at your record shop.
Yesterday's Jazz Today on CBS.
Billy Cobham, drummer, musician, artist. Cobham with a new Atlantic album, Shabazz, recorded live in Europe. Billy Cobham and his band at the Hammersmith Odeon, Monday, June 23rd. Billy Cobham with special guest Larry Coryell. Billy Cobham in concert. Be there or be square.
Isn't it good to know? Capital
194.
Maybe I'm back again on Mardi Gras. And how about this one? The jazz standard Wolverine Blues. Not a blues in the traditional sense, but a beautiful number by any standard. Played now by its composer, Jelly Roll Morton, with the Dodds brothers, Johnny on clarinet and Baby on drums. I said that Wolverine Blues is not a traditional blues, and neither is the next one, Bye Bye Blues, which is nothing more than a popular song by no fewer than four white composers, or so the label says. Two of them recorded it individually with their own bands, 5 years apart, and I thought you might like to hear how very differently they visualised their work. Firstly, trumpeter Fred Hamm from Chicago, playing it with his orchestra in 1925. He sings it too.
Thank you.
Fred Hamm, trumpeter and part composer of Bye Bye Blues, in 1925. In 1930, his colleague Bert Lowne, violinist and leader of the band in the Biltmore Hotel in New York, also recorded it, using Al Filburn on trombone. They even mention him on the label. Tommy Fellini on guitar, and on vibraphone, Adrian Rollini. He gets in everywhere, I'm glad to say. Even the words are different if you listen. Co-leaders of the Coon Sanders Orchestra, drummer Carlton Coon and pianist Joe Sanders, also composed several numbers between them. Coon wrote a very successful bit of nonsense in 1926 called Hi Diddle Diddle, and Sanders wrote all kinds of things from waltz ballads like Beloved to way-out piano pieces like Southology, and things with titles from a medical dictionary like High Fever, Brainstorm and Hallucinations. And I've played you some of these already, but here's one, composed by Joe Sanders and played by the Coon Sanders Orchestra. It's just typical of the time, 1928. A vigorous, cheerful thing called What a Girl, What a Night.
Thank you. moon shining bright. What a time and place to build and croon. What a wild desire to cuddle you. What a thrill I would get if our lips ever met. Can you blame a man for not acting right? What a girl, what a night.
Yes, indeed. Coon Sanders Orchestra playing their pianist leader's What a Girl, What a Night. He sings the vocal too. A lesson in how to combine sentiment with good jazz arranging. Now, here's one that's entirely sentimental, but played by a band that included several jazz figures such as Pee Wee Irwin, trumpet, Glenn Miller, trombone, Johnny Mintz, clarinet, and Bud Freeman, tenor. Ray Noble conducting his first American orchestra in the number he wrote for the film The Big Broadcast of 1935 with Al Boley, naturally. Why Stars Come Out at Night.
Do you know why stars come out at night? It's curious the way they do. The answer is simply this: they love to look at you. Do you know why owls come out at night and ask each other who? The answer is simply this: they love to look at you. The wise old moon up yonder, the little clouds that wander, they've all fallen under your spell. And I am a captive as well, forever and ever. Now you know why stars come out at night. They feel the same as I do too. So won't you say that I may forever stay with you? Thank you.
Stars Come Out at Night by composer and lyric writer Ray Noble and his orchestra. And we'll have some more after the next break.
Drive on, I'd like a close-up of the elephants.
Certainly, sir.
Closer. But not too close. Too close!
Not at all, sir. I've just fitted a Motorcraft tune-up kit.
Motorcraft spark plugs and contact sets. Every engine needs them. Better ignition gives instant getaway, smoother running, more miles per gallon.
Like to see the lions?
For better parts for most cars everywhere, remember Motorcraft.
One man for.
Here we are back again on Mardi Gras. Now for another contrast, here's a number in popular song style written by King Oliver, no less. We all know his numbers like Dipper Mouth Blues and Snagit and Dr. Jazz, but this one's not so well known, though every bit is fine. I Must Have It, featuring the King himself in a muted accompaniment to the low register clarinet, and probably his nephew Dave Nelson playing the exultant open horn. Must Have It, very appropriate title for a superb bit of jazz, 1930. Another number with a very suitable title is Sweet and Lovely, and I'm going to play you now the composer's own arrangement, played with a hint of blues trumpet at the beginning. It's by Gus Arnim and his Coconut Grove Orchestra in Hollywood, 1931.
When she nestled in my arms so tenderly, there There's a thrill that words cannot express. In my heart a song of love is haunting me. Melody haunting me. Sweet and lovely, sweeter than the roses in May. And she loves me. There is nothing more I can say.
Sweet and Lovely, played by composer Gus Arnim and his orchestra. The vocalist was Donald Novis, one of the heartthrobs of the time. His predecessor in the Gus Arnim Orchestra was a much greater expert at putting over a number to thrill the heart of Miss 1931, though, Bing Crosby. Here's another Gus Arnim record, a rather elaborate, almost concert arrangement of I Surrender, Dear, with touches of hot playing here and there, and Bing Crosby sings it. Did you know he was part composer of this number?
Costs more than I can pay. Without you I can't make my way. I surrender, dear. I may seem proud and I may act gay. That's just a pose. I'm not that way. 'Cause deep down in my heart I say, I surrender, dear. Are those little mean things we were doing must have been part of the game, lending a spice to the wooing. Ah, but I don't care who's to blame. When stars appear and shadows fall, then you'll hear my poor heart call to you, my love, my life, my all. I surrender, dear. my life, my all. I surrender, dear.
Bing Crosby singing his own number, I Surrender, Dear. It was about that time that words were put to a brisk, stomping jazz number that Hoagy Carmichael had written called Stardust. Here's Hoagy's own piano solo recording of his best-remembered tune, slowed down, moody, and without lyrics, which in a quality composition like this is superfluous anyway, surely. Hoagy Carmichael himself playing Stardust, the authentic version. And we'll have some more after the break.
If you're listening to me on a transistor radio and if you don't have Duracell batteries in it, my voice is just going to fade away. It won't happen with Duracell. They won't fade. They last up to 3 times longer. They're beautiful. I'm even going to sing you a song about them. Duracell, working well, working all the way.
Sweetheart!
Duracell batteries from larger Boots, Laskers, and other good stores.
And we're back again on Mardi Gras. Well, we've had a fair amount of sentiment, so let's have something from each of two composers who recorded their own songs, not all of which were romantic by any means. 40 years after he made it, Sir Noel Coward's famous advice to Mrs. Worthington still makes an awful lot of sense as an antidote to overfond mamas.
Don't put your
your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. The profession is overcrowded and the struggle is pretty tough. And admitting the fact she's burning to act, that isn't quite enough. She has nice hands to give the wretched girl her due, but don't you think her bust is too developed for her age? I repeat, Mrs. Worthington, sweet Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Regarding yours, dear Mrs. Worthington, of Wednesday the 23rd, although your baby may be keen on a stage career, how can I make it clear this is not a good idea for her to hope, dear Mrs. Worthington, is on the face of it absurd. Her personality is not in reality exciting enough, inviting enough for this particular sphere. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. She's a bit of an ugly duckling, you must honestly confess. And the width of her seat would surely defeat her chances of success. It's a loud voice, and though it's not exactly flat, she'll need a little more than that to earn a living wage. On my knees, Mrs. Worthington, please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Though they said at the School of Acting she was lovely as Peer Gynt, I'm afraid on the whole an ingenue role would emphasize her squint. She's a big girl, and though her teeth are fairly good, she's not the type I ever would be eager to engage. No more butts, Mrs. Worthington. Nuts, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage.
A marvellous example of a miniature situation comedy in rhyme and melody from the master himself, Sir Noel Coward. His American opposite number, also gifted enough to write romantic ballads and witty, unsentimental point numbers with polish and, yes, charm, was Cole Porter. So let's hear his open letter to Mrs. Lousborough Goodby.
Mrs. Lousborough Goodby gives weekends, and her weekends are not a success. But she asks you so often, you finally soften and end by answering yes. When I left in Mrs. Lousborough Goodby, the letter I wrote was polite, but it would have been bliss if I dared write her this, the letter I wanted to write. Thank you so much, Mrs. Lousborough Goodby. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that infinite weekend with you. Thank you a lot, Mrs. Lousborough Goodby. Thank you a lot. And don't be surprised if you suddenly should be quietly shocked, for the clinging perfume of that damp room, for those cocktails so hot, and the bar that was not, for those guests so amusing and mentally bracing, who talked about racing and racing and racing, for the ptomaine I got from your famous tin salmon, for the fortune I lost when you taught me backgammon, for those mornings I spent with your dear but deaf mother, for those evenings I passed with that bounder, your brother, and for making me swear to myself there and then never to go for a weekend again. Thank you so much, Mrs. Lousborough Goodby. Thank you so much.
Cole Porter accompanying himself at the piano. Well, this is another of those programs I could go on with all night, you know, but it looks as if there's only time for one more, so I'm going to make it one of Louis Armstrong's greatest records. It's pretty well known, but it's such a classic of its kind it stands any number of playings, as it has for 48 years, for it was in 1927 that Louis composed and recorded Potato Head Blues with his Hot Seven. Thank you. Armstrong and his Hot 7 Potato Head Blues. Well, that's it. All kinds of vintage popular music and jazz played or sung as the composers intended. I hope you enjoyed them, and that we can meet again next Sunday at the same time. Till then, this is Brian Russ saying good night from Mardi Gras, our carnival for best in vintage popular music, and all that jazz.